Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right, so we are doing our identity crisis. Who do you say I am? That is our message series this month. And this month is extra special because we have Caleb here. We're going to be preaching together today. And then next Sunday, Brian and I will actually be on a mission trip in the Dominican Republic. We leave tomorrow. And we want to thank you for everyone who has given to make this trip possible. We were so blessed. Every single thing that has come in, it's going to go right to the trip. If you give anything more online on the giving page and you click that mission trip, we're going to be able to give out clothing and food and that kind of thing. So anything more coming in will go towards that, just so you know. And so we will be out of town next Sunday, which we normally don't miss Sundays. So next Sunday, Pastor Rod will actually be bringing the message. So it'll be awesome. And we have a guest worship leader from another church coming in, Melvin. So it'll be a little bit of a different flavor with worship and everything, but it'll be just so much power in God. So please come and support what God is doing here next Sunday. So today is Super Bowl Sunday. Now, who is rooting for the Chiefs? Okay. Who is rooting for the Eagles? Who is rooting for the ads? Yes, let's go. That was a practice run for loving your enemies. So hopefully, I should have been like, every eye closed, every head bowed. That was really what I should have done, because we all know no one really does that when we say to do that, right? But today is a great day to love your enemies, okay? So that's not what we're talking about, although Caleb, we probably should have talked about that today. But anyway, we're talking about what it takes to be a Super Bowl champion. And I don't know if you saw Sam on the base. He's out there now, but he was wearing his champion outfit. He didn't even know that that was what we were talking about. So talk about right on. But he was wearing his champion outfit. And if you see people wearing specific colors today, ask them, or maybe you know if you're a football buff, what color is your team? I personally like Tammy. She's wearing the referee outfit. That was great. So go referee. I would have if I'd had those colors. I thought that was the best outfit today. So in a few hours, a game of great importance to our nation will be played, right? Incredibly strong men will collide and crash into each other, throwing a piece of pigskin up and down a field of grass. And only one team will end emerging victorious, right? I know, I got a frowny face. That's a very sad way of describing a football game. But if you really strip it down, don't kill me, please come back, right? But tens of millions will be watching, right? And unofficial sports betting will top billions of dollars, which I'm not endorsing, by the way. Please don't do that. But it's this whole big scene happening today. And one question is on everyone's mind, who will win, right? Unless the other question, which is which ad is going to be the best. But we're not talking about that this morning, right? That's why Caleb and I are preaching together. I'm the ad, he's the football team, so I needed him. We needed each other. How many know there is a big difference between an amateur football club down the road and the Super Bowl players today, right? How many know that a Super Bowl player does not look like me or you? Maybe it looks like you. Definitely doesn't look like me. No one wants a Super Bowl champion to look like me, right? Vince Lombardi, who is the former Green Packers coach, Green Bay Packers, excuse me, said, "Winning is not a sometime thing. You don't win once in a while. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing." How many of you ever felt like you kind of got in a habit of just, we call it like self-sabotage, where you're just in a season, it's like nothing seems to be going right, and it's like a spiral. Have you ever been there? I've definitely been there. And you don't have to raise your hands, but thank you for being vulnerable and raising your hand. And then sometimes it's just like you're in a season where like everything is going right. And if you've been in a season where everything isn't going right, and you get into a season where everything is, then you're just waiting for everything to not go right again. Anybody there? You're like, everything's going right, but why, right? I don't know why everything's going right. And so humans love to win. And some of us are more competition-driven than others. Some of us are like, I don't care who wins, right? God bless you. But some of us are really competitive. I'll never forget playing a game with my husband a long time ago when we were much younger because we grew up together. I won't tell you how old we were because that'll just make the story better. But anyway, we were playing a game of Sorry, right, back in youth group, and I won. No, it wasn't Sorry. It was Clue. Excuse me. He's correcting me. Clearly, we've had therapy on this. But anyway, it on Clue, and I won. And I don't win a lot of games, so I was really happy, and he started to cry. He was devastated that I'd won. Now, he is a man. Don't worry. He's got his man card. He's masculine. But I beat him at Clue, so don't bring Clue to church, or we'll need to go back to therapy, right? But winning matters, right? It's for some of us more than others. And so who here is just really competition-driven? Anybody just really? God bless you. You and Brian, like, start a support group for winning and losing, right? I don't know. It matters. But how many know Jesus likes to win? In fact, he kind of already won forever, right? And sometimes I think we feel like Jesus hasn't won. Like, we're, like, rooting for Jesus to win. Sometimes our prayers are like, Jesus, if you just win this for me, right? Have you ever prayed that way? It's really odd. Instead of being like, Jesus, you already won. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus already gave you what you wanted, right? Because we need to give God what we want, and then we'll see what happens. But I am saying that victory is forever, right? And so that's something that we can rest in this morning. But we're going to look at a Bible story that I think it's really easy to just say it's for Kids Sunday and for the kids out there. And we're looking at David and Goliath. Please do not tune out when I say that, because if you grew up in church, you've heard this story 1,000 times. If you didn't, then maybe this will be a little bit fresher. But David was the youngest of a very large family. He was a shepherd and a musician. He was forgotten by his dad when the king was going to be anointed. Talk about some dad issues right there. And then he was anointed as king, but it took years before he was actually publicly made king. So this guy had some character developed in him. He's the author of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, right? He knew what it was to wait on the Lord and be filled with strength and courage. So I'm going to start off the message, then don't worry, Caleb will steal it. Probably won't give it back to me for a while. But the first point that I want to make is a Super Bowl champion are people of action in the face of adversity. I was listening to something this morning, and how many like snakes here? Anybody like snakes? How many really don't like snakes? So Kids Sunday is happening. And if you don't know, Kids Sunday happens once a month on the second Sunday of every month. So if you're a family or you know a family who would love some fun activities for their kids, we do this on the second Sunday. Every other Sunday is a great Sunday for families and kids too. But we try to get in a special guest like the fire trucks. Or one time we had David the Snake Man. He's a local reptile guy. Dan, not David. I've got David on my mind. Excuse me. Dan the Snake Man. That rhymes. That's better. That's more marketable, right? And he was a great guy, and he brought in all these reptiles. And I'll never forget walking in, and all the kids are like, wow, this is amazing. And it really was amazing. But one kid, who remained nameless because he's here today, one kid was like, I'm never coming back to church again. I was like, Natalie, we got to talk about who we get in as guests because we don't want to scare people away from church, right? But it was really cool. And he had all these snakes and all the turtles, and I don't know what he had. It was kind of traumatizing for me. I didn't go in that room that day. But it was very memorable. And there's something about snakes. So I was in Africa on a mission trip a while back, and we were in South Africa, and we were on this safari before we actually went to Malawi to visit our church there. And so we were out in this Jeep, this open-top Jeep, and we're on our friend's land there, and we were driving through the bush, they call it. Everyone say the bush. The bush. And they pull off, and he's like, oh, man, wouldn't it be really cool to see a snake? So, like, everybody get out of the Jeep, and we're all getting out of the Jeep. And my mom was like, what? Why? Why are we getting out of the Jeep? Like, what are you talking about? And right there in the field, we saw a Cape Cobra and a Puffer Adder. And I'm like, why? I'm glad I went there when I was younger. I don't know if I'd make it now. These snakes are no joke. They're big, and they will kill you. They will kill you. And the thing about a snake is when you kill a snake, like if you cut the head off, and yes, this is a big deal for me to be talking about and not freaking out, so please just stay with me here because this has a point. When you cut the head of the snake off, it's dead, right? It's dead. However, if you step on the head of the snake, if you're just to leave it there, the venom can still get you. The snake is dead, but the head can still get you. right? In fact, the rest of the body can even move around a little bit. I'm not going to talk about that because I can't even, that's just a little, I'm glad I live in Ithaca. God bless you guys going to Florida. We'll just have a moment of silence for you. But the head of the snake can still get you. And in fact, it could even like dry up and be a long time. And if you step on it, the poison could still get you. How many know that the giant is dead? When Jesus died on that cross, every giant that you face today, every Goliath that you face today is dead. And if you don't know that, then you may be fighting the wrong battle. But it doesn't mean that the giant still doesn't have some venom, especially near the head when we start listening to the lies of the enemy, right? And making room for that in our life, that giant can't still try to bite us. Are you following me? This is so important because Caleb's really going to get into the story of David and Goliath here. But I want to talk about the fact that the giant is dead in our lives and we are people of action. It takes a Goliath to reveal a David and his journey to produce a king. Faith believes what God can do. Identity believes what God can do through you. Let David's journey touch yours. When David went to Goliath, he wasn't going to battle to kill Goliath. He was working his 9-to-5 job running an errand for his dad that, by the way, forgot about him earlier, right? So David's action was just in his normal day-to-day. And I think sometimes we think that we're going to, like, go on a mission trip to kill a giant. When God's saying, go on the mission trip. We're going on a mission trip tomorrow. So I'm not saying don't go on the mission trip, but we are on a mission every day. And I think we discount ourselves for taking action. We say, my dad didn't believe in me, right? Just ask David. How about my 9-to-5 doesn't really matter? Just ask David. I've been isolated. Just ask David. I'm waiting on what God has for me. Just ask David. Who God made me isn't what I'm doing now. Just ask David. Are you following? The action that David took was outside of just running a simple errand, but he lived intentional. And he was listening to his father's voice, and he didn't get intimidated when everyone else did. Super Bowl champions know the giant is dead, but they also are responsive to what God is doing, even in the mundane tasks that we have Monday through Friday, whether it's in your home or at your workplace. Are you following me? So that's my first point, and I'm going to give the mic to Caleb here and let him carry on to the next point.
Okay, cool. I'm going to do something that we didn't do beforehand.
Do it.
Let's pray. We prayed, but we didn't pray into the message. So, Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to speak your word today. We ask that you use us as conduits to show the message that you want your people to hear today. And that message would be something that transforms their lives. Because we know when the Spirit is touched, that's when things happen. There's a transformation. Our minds are renewed by what is being spoken through your word, through your Spirit, Father God. And we just take what we get today and not just let it stop here, but let it go out, because that's where we're supposed to be, is out in the world, changing, being ambassadors of reconciliation, ambassadors of hope that bring people back to God and showing them Jesus. So we just thank you for that. And God, I ask that you let me see my notes as I do this. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Since we're talking about football today, there's a whole bunch of other things, and I've got some pictures to show. I'm really into football. She was the ads part. I was the football part of this thing. Have you ever watched a football game with somebody who doesn't know about football? Is there anything more annoying than trying to watch a game with somebody who doesn't know the game? Because you're like, I'm into it, especially when my beloved Bills play. When my Bills play, I don't want to hear what you're saying. I don't care. I don't care if it's Facebook official, what they're doing. I want to see my Bills play. And I can't take it when somebody's like, so they get 4 chances? Does this happen every time? What do you mean they have to make 10 yards? Well, he just got a big play. Can't they throw it every time? And the best one, do they move that yellow line every time they move the ball?
You guys know the yellow line that comes on the screen that lets them know where the ball is? Do they move that every time? Yes, they do that every time. That's my little football speech. And I've got to take my Bills sweatshirt off. This is the only thing I have left after all the years. I used to have four or five jerseys. Thurman Thomas jersey, Bryce Pop, Chris Spielman. Oh, all the good guys from the 90s. Back when Bills were Bills. I mean, they're good now. They're great now. But they were a tough team back in the day. Got it. Okay, Brian. I saw you leave just a few minutes ago. I was going to have Hannah say, Brian, because I know where you went. Could you please put up the first picture? And I'm going to explain why this hasn't... the ones before that. There, right there. This is a picture of the desert. And you're asking yourself, why? We're talking about David and Goliath. We've been talking about football. And now he's put up a picture of the desert. Why would he do this to us? I love deserts. It's my favorite biome. It's my favorite thing to look at. I love looking at deserts. And the hardest thing about a desert is, with like tropical scenes, you can look at it right away and you say, oh, that's beautiful. I would love to be there. With a desert, you have to look at it twice. You have to really look at it. And when you do, and you concentrate on all the aspects, can you show the other picture below it? It's like, man, that's just plain. It's just brown. It's just one color. But when you really look at it, and you really start to see things, not only do you see brown and black, you also start to see gold and you see blue. These things come to you as you study it. And what I'm bringing this up is, when Hannah told me we were looking at David and Goliath, because when I started studying for, you know, who does God say I am, my identity in Christ, I went to 2 Corinthians, I was looking at chapter 5 and like new creation, and really had all these things, awesome things I wrote up, and I gave it to her. And she's like, well, I believe that we're supposed to be talking about David and Goliath, which is cool, it's great, you know, it's awesome. You know, the story of an underdog coming and beating the giant, you know, I get it. But as I was thinking about it, I was taking a look at it, I was taking a second look, just like I take a second look at this. When I first thought of it, I'm like, Hannah, that's a great story. But when you listen to the story of David, David always boasts about what God's doing. You know, that was last month. Who is God? Who do you say God is? God is a deliverer, which he is. But this month, it was supposed to be, God, who do you say I am? So I took a second look. And what we learn from this, and what Hannah was saying was, we see David's identity by the action that God puts him in. Everybody else saw David in the natural. You're a youth. You don't know any better. You're young. All these things. We need to take a second look at this book. I thought I knew the story of David and Goliath. I thought I knew it well. But when I studied it and looked at it again, there was such a wealth of information. The story is so much bigger, so much greater than what we give it, because we've listened to it so many times. We need to really see the story of David and Goliath. We need to see how they interacted with the giant that they faced. How were they different? How were the people of Israel reacting to the Goliath that they saw? How was Goliath reacting to the people that he saw? And how did David react to the people that he saw? We say it's an underdog story, but it really isn't. It's really not. David came into this, though he didn't know it was going to happen. Like Hannah was saying, he was supposed to deliver cheese and bread. That's what his job was. His father, Jesse, said, here you go. You got some cheese and some bread. Give it to these to the commanders and give it to your brothers and give us an idea of what's going on. So that's what David did. He's like, I'm walking in. He comes into the situation, and everybody's sitting around looking at Goliath in the distance. And he's almost like, guys, what's up? What's going on here? Why isn't there any fighting going on? And they're like, look, there's Goliath. And he's almost still like, yeah, so? Israel, the army of Israel, was looking at Goliath with the natural eye. They saw the problem and it paralyzed them. They were the underdog. David saw Goliath through the supernatural eye. And he had the victory. Even before he stepped on the battlefield. Some of us today are facing a giant. And it's tough. And I was talking to Hannah about that. I go, one of the things that happened, because we know the story so much, we tend to see past the giant. It's like, yes, he faced a giant, but we don't really relate to a giant that David was facing. Do you know how brutal that man must have been? And the same can go for us in our stories. Our giant may not be a 10-foot guy with a big sword and a shield and a spear and all the stuff that he had. Our giant that we may be facing may be cancer. May have been a divorce. May have been a loss of something. Serious stuff. Just like David was facing. But because he knew who he was in God, he had the victory. Just like we have to know who we are in him, so when we face these things, we already know we have the victory. Because these things will happen to us just like it happened to David. He didn't know he was going to face a giant that day. He had no idea about Goliath and what he was doing there. He was just there to do something. He was just there to give something away and to find out and give a report. That's the way trouble will find us in our lives. We'll just be going through, doing our thing. Just be walking down the street and all of a sudden we feel a pain in our side. Takes us by surprise. The giant. But it's in those moments when we face the giant, when we have spent time with God and we know who we are, we know our identity, and we know the victory that we have in him already, we can be like David and run to the battlefield. Because that's what it said it did. When he was about to face the giant, he didn't walk up there tentatively going, man, this guy's going to beat my face in. He's going to stab me. He's going to kill me. He's going to crush me. Because that's what the giant said to him when he came up to the line. He said he cursed him. The giant cursed David when he came up to the line. But David faced him. He ran up to him. How could he do this? How could he do this? Because David knew who he was. He knew who he was in God. We have got to be solidified in our identity in Christ, just like David was with him. Amen. And we've got to do that now when we're not facing the trial. Because when you're facing the trial is not going to give you an opportunity to say, time out. I got to find out who I am. I got to know who I am. David learned who he was in the quiet place, in the quiet place when he was shepherding the sheep, when nothing was going on, when everything was quiet, and the lambs were okay, and the sheep were fine. That's the time when he found out who he was, when God would speak to him. And God can speak to you too. But it's the spending of the time in the quiet place where God speaks to you and he shows you who you are. And it's that time of just being in his word, being with him, where he solidifies who you are in him and your identity, so that when you do face the giant, no matter what anybody says, no matter what the circumstances are all around you, you can walk boldly up to the line and say, I have the victory today because of what God has done and what he's doing in my life and what he's continuing to do. David was confident the whole time. Everybody else saw this giant and were terrified. They couldn't move for 40 days. David saw the giant and he ran to him and he faced him and he beat him because he knew that God was going to do it through him the whole time. One of the key scriptures is like, today you're going to be beaten so that the world may know, or the people around, the armies may know that it's the Lord of Heaven's armies that is doing this today. And we get the victory not so we can be praised. We get the victory in God so he can be praised. Because David knew the whole time. Yeah. God is worthy of his claps. He's worthy of those things because that's what it's all about. It's not, I mean, it is important that you get a victory in something. But the most important thing is that God is getting the glory. He's made more famous by what he is doing in your life. Because there are some great battles that everybody sees. They see the cancer before you and say, that's a big giant. That's a terrifying giant. But God delivered it through. And now you can give God the glory so people can see that there is a God and see that he delivers his people. And this may be the time right now where God is saying, now is the time to spend time with me because I know what's coming to you in the future. And for you to be ready for that, not that you are already not ready, but for you to be sure in that, now is the time to sit and think about what God is doing in your life, your identity in him, so when you face those times of trial, your giant, you can stand and do it with strength. Amen. Oh, there was so much more. I
know.
Oh, I want to tell one underdog story. One underdog story. Because, okay, the reason I thought about the desert is because I wanted to take a second look. And then I was remembering, what is that sound? Oh, it's off. There is the story I came up with. In World War II, the British were in Egypt, and the Nazis were coming in from Libya, modern-day Libya. And they were working their way eastward to try to get to the Sinai and then try to get to the oil fields in the Middle East. And the British were outnumbered, and they didn't have their generals weren't as good as the Germans were, and their equipment wasn't as good. They didn't have the numbers. So they had to figure out how to stop them, how to fight them back. Well, the British used two men for this special division. And what they were, one was a magician, that was his full-time job, and another guy was a film producer, or a movie maker. And the reason they used them is because they would make these big models and they would stick them out in the desert. Fake tanks, they'd blow these big tanks up, you know, with air and things like that, and they'd build these tanks with wooden structures and cars. They didn't have enough equipment to do it on their, you know, to have the real thing. And when the Nazis flew by, they had to see more numbers of British troops, British equipment that they didn't have. So they had to figure out how to do this. And the reason I was thinking of that is because one of the guys who did it said, I love the desert. Most people don't. But when I see it, I see the pinks and the blues and the greens that you can't see with a normal eye just by looking at it one time. God used these men to fight back an evil enemy because they took a second look. And I'm asking you today, go home and read the story about David and Goliath, but take a second look. Think about your identity. David, in chapter 16, was told his identity. He anointed him as king. They said, you are a great warrior. You're this valiant person. Even before he had even done any of those things, he spent time, and it was reinforced by how he spent his time with the Lord. Then when the event happened, God was showing him who he was by going through a circumstance. Take a second look. I'm telling you, you will see things that you hadn't seen before. Don't let the story get old because we've heard it 1,000 times. Read it 1,000 times even more, and you will get something new every time. It'll touch you. promise you. There you go.
Amen. So why don't we stand on our feet?
We didn't even get to say our one statement that we talked
about. I know. Okay, we'll preach again here soon. I just want to end on this testimony. Last week, my parents had a car issue. It was a detrimental car issue, but I won't tell their story for them, so if you want to, you can ask them. But needless to say, they didn't have a car by the end of their car issue, and it was 9 p.m. last Sunday, and I get a phone call, and they had to take an Uber home because they were a bit away from where they are living on their trip right now. And so they get in the Uber, and if you know my parents, they're very, my mom, she loves to talk to strangers, even though she says she's an introvert. I don't believe her. She's more extroverted than me, but that's okay. She can be an introvert. So they get in this car, and they were on their 9-to-5 lunch break, right? Let's just say David was on a lunch break when he killed a giant. So if you think your lunch breaks are time for gossip or a time to get on social media, maybe check out the giants nearby and see what God wants to do with them in your life or the person's life next to you on lunch break. But anyway, my parents get in the Uber and they end up being with this guy, and I don't remember his name, it was like Tony or something. Anyway, this guy, he used to be a Christian, but he'd had a death in the family and he just lost faith in God, and he had actually become a Muslim. But that day, he had just been thinking recently about going back to church. He'd actually been a youth leader assistant. Like, this guy was really sold out. And my parents got to witness to him for 30 minutes. Because how many know your Uber driver can't go anywhere but without you, right? Just ask Pastor Rod, who's done Uber. And by the end of the drive, they were actually able to witness to this guy so much. My mom played a harp song for him. And they got to pray for him, and he said he had goosebumps and all this stuff. It's not about the goosebumps, but it means God was touching him. And he said, it was no accident that I met you today. And if you know my parents' car issue, it involved an accident. So let's just say there was an accident, but he said this was no accident. So my parents were just doing their normal life, even their hopefully not normal life, because it was something bad that happened. But then God was like, hey, there's a giant of unbelief in this man's life. There's a giant of discouragement and disappointment. I'm going to send you on a mission, and you're going to take that giant out. Do you see it? There are giants in our lives, and we need to wake up, live intentional, take action, take a second look, not only at the Bible verse, but at your life, at the situations you're walking into. It's not just about me and my giants. It's about you. It's about our community, right? We're a team. Football's a team sport. It's just not the coach playing. That'd be a really sad game if the coaches are out there fighting each other, right? So I want to just pray over us today. If you are facing a giant in your life, I'm going to read this scripture. This is what David said. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Jesus, we just thank you that the giant is dead. God, any giants that we are facing or our world is facing is dead. The head might be off, and there might be some poison that people keep stepping on, and it's getting messy, and lives are at stake. But the giant is dead under the power of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. So, Jesus, we just speak the victory of Jesus into our lives. God, we just thank you for waking us up to live intentional, to be alert, to take a second look, to take action, God, and to be aware of, just like David, not clocking out mentally during our 9-to-5 clock in, but clocking into your spirit, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit moving through us, God, that we wouldn't just let giants stare at us in our 9-to-5s or at our homes or in our relationships. God, we wouldn't just stare at it for 40 days like the Israelites being intimidated, but God, we would listen to your voice, and just like David, we would take our slingshot of faith and throw that mustard seed or that stone in, which, by the way, is said to be the power of a .44 caliber gun, by the way. That's how strong that stone would have been. So, God, we thank you for the power that you are moving through our lives to change other lives. And we thank you for releasing your victory. We just bless every circumstance in your life right now, every area where you are intimidated. We bless you with the courage of Jesus. Every spot that you may be saying, I've been staring at this problem for 40 days or for 40 years. And I am not talking about staring at another person, just to clarify. But Jesus, I thank you that it is not flesh and blood that we fight. It is by your Spirit, God, in the supernatural. And so, God, I thank you for releasing a power of prayer in this place, God. People who have never prayed are going to start praying. You're going to find yourself praying this week in ways you've never prayed before. Putting your faith in God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.